The New Atlantis, Sir Francis Bacon, FRC. Sir Francis Bacon, 1561 to 1626, led the scientific and philosophical thought of his day, introducing the Baconian method of science, employing observation and experimentation. A leader of the Rosicrucians during his lifetime, his methods included hermeticism, alchemy, and esoteric studies as a natural part of human knowledge. The New Atlantis, a utopian work written in the last years of his life and published posthumously in 1627, chronicles a voyage to the island of Bensalem, off the western coast of the Americas. The inhabitants of the island had seemingly accomplished the great instauration, that is, the regeneration and renewal of human arts and sciences encouraged by Bacon in his many writings. In this selection from the work, Bacon describes the ancient land of Atlantis and its fall. The 17th century text has been slightly adapted for modern readers.
You shall understand that which perhaps you will scarce think credible, that about 3,000 years ago, or somewhat more, the navigation of the world, especially for remote voyages, was greater than at this day. Do not think with yourselves that I know not how much it is increased with you within these 80 years. I know it well, and yet I say greater then than now. Whether it was that the example of the ark that saved the remnant of people from the universal deluge gave them confidence to venture upon the waters, or what it was, but such is the truth. The Phoenicians, and especially the Tyrians, had great fleets. So had the Carthaginians their colony, which is yet further west. Toward the east, the shipping of Egypt and of Palestine was likewise great. China also, and the great Atlantis, that you call America, which have now but junks and canoes, abounded then in tall ships. This island, as appeareth by faithful registers of those times, had then 1,500 strong ships of great content. Of all this there is with you sparing memory, or none, but we have large knowledge thereof. At the same time, and an age after or more, the inhabitants of the great Atlantis did flourish. For though the narration and description which is made by a great man with you, that the descendants of Neptune planted there, and of the magnificent temple, palace, city, and hill, and the manifold streams of goodly navigable rivers, which are so many chains environed the same site and temple, and the several degrees of ascent whereby men and women did climb up to the same, as if it had been a Scala Coeli, be all poetical and fabulous, yet so much is true, that the said country of Atlantis, as well that of Peru, then called Coya, as that of Mexico, then named Tirumbel, were mighty and proud kingdoms, in arms, shipping, and riches. So mighty as at one time, or at least within the space of 10 years, they both made 2 great expeditions, they of Tirumbel through the Atlantic to the Mediterranean Sea, and they of Coya through the South Sea upon this our island. And for the former of these, which was into Europe, the same author among you, as it seemeth, had some relation from the Egyptian priest whom he citeth. For assuredly such a thing there was. But whether it were the ancient Athenians that had the glory of the repulse and resistance of those forces, I can say nothing. But certain it is there never came back either ship or sailor from that voyage. neither had the other voyage of those of Coya upon us had better fortune, if they had not met with enemies of greater clemency. For the king of this island, by name Altabin, a wise man and a great warrior, knowing well both his own strength and that of his enemies, handled the matter so as he cut off their land forces from their ships, and entoiled both their navy and their camp with a greater power than theirs, both by sea and land, and compelled them to render themselves without striking a stroke, and after they were at his mercy, contenting himself only with their oath, that they should no more bear arms against him, dismissed them all in safety. But the divine revenge overtook not long after those proud enterprises, for within less than a space of 100 years the great Atlantis was utterly lost and destroyed, not by a great earthquake, as your man saith, for that whole tract is little subject to earthquakes, but by a particular deluge or inundation, those countries having at this day far greater rivers and far greater mountains to pour down waters than any part of the old world. But it is true that the same inundation was not deep, nor past 40 foot in most places from the ground, so that although it destroyed human beast generally, yet some few wild inhabitants of the wood escaped. Birds also were saved by flying to the high trees and woods. For as for the people, although they had buildings in many places higher than the depth of the water, yet that inundation, though it were shallow, had a long continuance, whereby they of the vale that were not drowned perished for want of food and other things necessary. But now to come to our present purpose. When the king had forbidden to all his people navigation into any part that was not under his crown, he made nevertheless this ordinance, that every 12 years there should be set forth out of this kingdom 2 ships appointed to several voyages, that in either of these ships there should be a mission of 3 of the fellows or brethren of Solomon's house, whose errand was only to give us knowledge of the affairs and state of those countries to which they were designed, and especially of the sciences, arts, manufactures, and inventions of all the world, and withal to bring unto us books, instruments, and patterns in every kind, that the ships, after they had landed the brethren, should return, and that the brethren should stay abroad till the new mission. The ships are not otherwise fraught than with store of victuals and good quantity of treasure to remain with the brethren, for the buying of such things and rewarding of such persons as they should think fit. Thus you see we maintain a trade not for gold, silver, or jewels, nor for silks, nor for spices, nor any other commodity of matter, but only for God's first creature, which was light. To have light, I say, of the growth of all parts of the world.